It can feel like a lot sometimes, right? You want to stay informed, get the big picture, but it's so easy to get overloaded with everything happening nationally.
Totally. And sometimes I feel like all that national news, it can leave you feeling kind of powerless.
Right? Like, what can we do about any of it? But that's actually why we're taking a different approach
Oh
today.
yeah, what's that?
We're going to be doing a deep dive into a perspective that offers a much more grounded way to understand all of that unease we're talking about.
Okay, I like it.
And it's especially relevant for you guys listening right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena.
So how are we going to do that?
Well, we're going to be looking at a recent conversation from Chuck Morone on the Strong Towns podcast.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that guy.
He's been talking about this sense of terror and chaos that he's observing across the country.
Interesting.
So we're going to pull out some key insights from that Strong Towns view, and hopefully that will help us understand what's at the root of this feeling. But more importantly, we want to help you guys identify ways that you can take action in your own backyards rather than just feeling stuck by those big national events.
Right. It's so easy to get caught up in all the national news and all the back and forth.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, a lot of the things that really affect us day to day are happening much closer to home.
Exactly. And it's really surprising how many people are feeling this way.
Yeah.
Chuck was talking about how he's heard this same kind of sentiment from people in very different places,
Yeah.
you know, from traditionally red states like Kansas,
Okay.
and even in more progressive circles like at the Humphrey School, this feeling of terror and chaos. It doesn't seem to be limited by political lines or where you live.
Yeah, that is interesting. So, what do you think is at the heart of this shared feeling then?
Well, I think Morone touches on some really basic anxieties that a lot of us are experiencing these days.
Okay.
He talked about how a friend's wife works at the VA and is facing potential buyouts.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, that speaks to job insecurity. And
Yeah.
then there are just the general financial worries that so many people are facing.
Absolutely.
Things like keeping up with mortgage payments, saving for your kids' education, or just making ends meet.
Yeah, it feels like everything is getting more and more expensive.
It really does. And so when you combine that with all the uncertainty in the world, it's easy to see why people are feeling anxious.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. It's not just national news either. I mean, even thinking about our community here, like in Deer Park, LaPorte, or Pasadena, you know, those larger anxieties, they kind of filter down and make you wonder about the future of your own community.
How secure are those jobs here locally? What about the long-term health of the region?
Right? Because those things have a huge impact on our day-to-day lives.
For sure.
Yeah.
One thing that's interesting about Strong Towns is that early on, they faced a lot of criticism for being too focused on the problems.
Oh, yeah.
People would accuse them of being all doom and gloom, you know, the whole 95% Chicken Little thing.
I've heard that. But they're not just pessimists, are they?
No, not at all. But they did get a reputation for being very good at identifying problems, but not offering many solutions.
Okay, so it's kind of like all diagnosis and no prescription.
And Morone would often push back against that criticism.
I bet.
His argument was that you can't really solve a problem until you fully understand its root causes.
Makes sense.
And he would point to his early work as an example of that initial diagnostic phase.
What kind of work?
Well, one example is his article on the growth Ponzi scheme.
I've heard that term before, but I'm not sure I fully understand it.
Well, the basic idea is that the way we've been developing our suburban areas, you know, with constant outward expansion,
Okay,
that
yeah.
it might generate some cash flow in the short term, but it actually creates huge long-term
Oh,
liabilities,
I see.
especially when it comes to maintaining all that new infrastructure.
It's like building further and further out without a plan to keep it all running.
And Morone compares it to racking up a huge credit card bill that keeps growing faster than you can pay it off.
Oof, yeah, that's a good analogy.
And what's interesting is that this idea of the growth Ponzi scheme really resonated with people across the political spectrum. You had people who might consider themselves progressive, and those with more conservative views who disliked suburban sprawl,
Right.
but they could all agree on that basic point about the financial unsustainability of the way we've been doing things.
So even though people might disagree on the solutions, they could at least agree that there was a problem.
But then, of course, the big question became, okay, so we see the potential financial trap, but what do we actually do about it?
Right. It's one thing to point out the problem, but it's another thing entirely to figure out how to fix it.
And that leads us to what Strong Towns identifies as one of the core issues, the financial state of many of our cities and towns.
And what do they say about that?
Well, Morone is very blunt about it. He says that a lot of municipalities are essentially insolvent.
Insolvent. Wow, that's a strong word.
It is. And what he means is that if all of their long-term financial obligations were to come due at once, they wouldn't have the assets to cover them.
Oh, wow. They've made more promises to maintain roads, bridges, water systems, provide services than they have a realistic plan to pay for in the long run.
So it's like they've been living beyond their means for years.
In a way, yes. Mm-hmm. And Marone paints a very stark picture of what this can lead to.
Like
roads that aren't being repaired, bridges that are being neglected, and basic infrastructure like water and sewage systems that are starting to crumble.
Yikes. That sounds pretty dire.
It is. And he has this really powerful phrase, the math is merciless.
Whoa.
Which emphasizes that this isn't just some abstract economic theory. This has very real consequences for people's lives.
Right, because when infrastructure fails, it affects everyone in the community.
Exactly. And, you know, for our listeners in Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena, it makes you wonder about the long-term financial planning in our communities.
Yeah, it definitely makes you think twice about the future.
Now, to really illustrate the complexities of these issues, Marone uses the example of New York City's congestion pricing plan.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that. So what's the deal with that? Well, on the surface, it seems like a logical idea.
Right. I mean, yeah, in theory.
Charge drivers to enter a congested area of a city with decent public transit.
Makes sense.
You reduce traffic and generate revenue for transit improvements.
This is a win-win.
Right. But as he digs deeper, a much more complicated picture emerges.
Oh, really?
For example, he points to the Metropolitan Transit Agency, the MTA.
Okay.
And he argues that they have a deeply flawed business model.
In what way?
Well, for one thing, they're carrying a huge amount of debt.
Oh, yikes.
And that debt is a key issue because it highlights a really problematic cycle and how these agencies are often funded.
Okay, I'm listening.
So the way it often works is the federal government offers funds for transit projects, but those funds usually require a local match.
Okay.
So to come up with that match, agencies like the MTA will often issue bonds.
So they're basically taking on more debt to get the federal money.
Exactly. And that creates this long-term debt obligation that has to be paid back with interest.
Yeah, I see where this is going.
The problem is that the incentives often favor big, flashy new projects over the less glamorous but essential day-to-day maintenance.
Oh, yeah, because everyone wants to cut the ribbon on a shiny new train, but nobody wants to talk about fixing the leaky pipes.
Exactly. So even if congestion pricing brings in a bunch of new revenue, there's a real risk that a lot of that money will just go towards servicing the existing debt.
Instead of actually fixing the underlying problems with the system.
Precisely. So more money isn't always the solution. Sometimes the system itself needs to be fixed.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if your car breaks down and you just keep pouring money into repairs without ever addressing the root cause of the problem, eventually you're just throwing money away.
Exactly. And so even a seemingly sensible policy like congestion pricing can get caught up in these larger systemic issues.
And end up making the problem worse in the long run.
Potentially, yes. And it highlights how our reliance on top-down funding mechanisms can sometimes make it even harder to solve local challenges.
And harder to maintain liquor control over those solutions.
Absolutely. But now here's where Marone's perspective gets really interesting.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
He talks about how frustrated he is with the Team Red versus Team Blue mentality that dominates so much of our political discourse.
Yeah, it feels like everything has become so polarized these days.
It really does. And he argues that we can support congestion pricing as a potentially good policy in a dense city with good public transit.
Okay.
And at the same time, recognize that the MTA as an organization is deeply flawed and needs serious reform.
So it's not an either-or situation.
Exactly. These ideas aren't mutually exclusive.
It's like being able to hold two seemingly contradictory ideas in your mind at the same time.
And that applies to so many other areas as well.
Like what?
Well, we can acknowledge that many of our cities are struggling to fund basic infrastructure without automatically assuming that the only answer is more federal spending.
Okay.
We can recognize that the Federal Highway Trust Fund is in dire straits, while also questioning whether just throwing more money at it is the most effective long-term solution.
Right. It's about looking beyond the talking points and actually evaluating the solutions based on their merits.
Exactly. And for our listeners in Deer Park, La Porte, and Pasadena, this is especially relevant.
How so?
Because it encourages us to look beyond those partisan divides and really focus on the practical realities of the situation.
What are the actual needs of our community? What are the financial challenges that our local governments are facing?
Exactly. And those are questions that are important regardless of which party is in power.
It's about finding solutions that actually work, not just solutions that fit a particular ideology.
Exactly. Now, there's this really interesting analogy that Marone brings in from Ben Hunt.
Oh, yeah. Who's Ben Hunt?
He's a financial analyst who writes a blog called Epsilon Theory.
Okay.
And he was talking about Hagen Skotten, the assistant U.S. attorney who resigned rather than dismiss corruption charges.
Wow. That's a pretty bold move.
It was. And the key takeaway from Marone was this quote from Hunt. It was never going to be me.
Hmm. That's a powerful quote.
It is. And Marone interprets it as a refusal to be complicit in broken systems.
So it's like saying, I'm not going to participate in this, even if everyone else is doing it.
Exactly. It's about taking a stand based on your principles, even when it's difficult.
And I think that's a really important message, especially in the context of all this national unease we were talking about earlier.
Totally. It's so easy to feel like we're just cogs in a machine that we have no control over.
Right. Like we're just along for the ride.
But this idea of it was never going to be me, it's a reminder that we do have a choice.
We can choose to be part of the problem, or we can choose to be part of the solution.
And that brings us to the heart of Marone's message. The most effective way to create positive change is to focus on local action.
So it's about taking ownership of the things that we can control right here in our own communities.
Exactly. And he emphasizes that this isn't always easy.
I bet.
It means making tough decisions, reevaluating our priorities, sometimes even going against the grain.
Can you give an example?
Sure. It might mean choosing to prioritize essential infrastructure repairs over things like widening roads or building more parking.
Okay, so it's about making choices that are sustainable in the long run, even if they're not always popular in the short term.
Exactly. And to help people understand the financial realities of their local governments, Strong Towns is actually developing a fiscal health assessment toolkit.
Oh, that sounds useful.
It is. And you'll be able to download it from their website, strongtowns.org.
Okay, I'll go check that out.
And the early findings from this assessment are pretty alarming.
Yeah.
They're suggesting that a lot of cities, even big ones like Houston, are in a much more precarious financial position than their annual budgets might suggest.
How so?
Well, when you factor in their long-term financial obligations, things like unfunded liabilities.
Unfunded liabilities?
Yeah, that's basically future financial commitments that the city has made but hasn't actually set aside the money to cover.
Like what?
Things like pensions or future infrastructure replacements.
Oh, wow.
And Marone points out that Houston's mayor said the city was broke with a big budget shortfall.
Okay.
But then he highlights that the city also has billions of dollars in unfunded liabilities.
So it's like the problem is even bigger than it appears on the surface.
Exactly. And that just underscores the urgency of the situation at the local level.
Because those unfunded liabilities, they're going to come due eventually.
Right. And when they do, it's going to have a huge impact on the services that we all rely on.
So what does Marone say we should do about it?
His call to action is very clear. Get out there and build a strong town.
Okay, I like it.
And he emphasizes that this can take many forms.
Like what?
It could be running for local office, participating in local government, or even just supporting your neighbors and getting involved in community initiatives.
So it's about finding ways to make a difference in your own community, whatever that looks like for you.
Exactly. And for our listeners in Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena, this is a really important message.
It's about taking that Strong Towns perspective and applying it to our own neighborhoods and towns.
Right. Instead of feeling overwhelmed by national headlines, we can focus on the things that we can actually control.
What are the specific infrastructure needs in our communities?
Yeah.
How can we get more involved in local decision making?
Exactly. Because those are the things that will have a direct impact on our lives.
I think there's something really empowering about that message.
Absolutely. While the national discourse can feel chaotic and overwhelming, there is a path forward.
And it starts right here at the local level.
Exactly. By focusing on strengthening our communities and taking responsibility for what's within our control.
We can actually create real and lasting change.
Exactly. And that's really at the heart of what we do here at Think and Act locally.
Empowering the residents of Deer Park, La Porte, and Pasadena to make a difference in our community.
And if you find value in this perspective and the information we share to help you act locally, please consider supporting our work.
You can find a link to donate in the show notes.
It's thinkandactlocally.com/donate. We really appreciate your support.
Every little bit helps us to continue providing this valuable information.
So as you go about your week, I want you to consider this. What one small concrete step could you take to strengthen your neighborhood or your community?
Maybe it's attending a local meeting.
Volunteering for a community organization.
Or even just reaching out to a neighbor.
Think about what you can do right here, right now.
Because even small actions can make a big difference.
And that's how we build strong towns together.